Colonel Jeff Cooper. FOB Wolverine, Task Force Duke, Zabul Province, Afghanistan. October, the first year. Andy was awoken by the sound of mortars. His many months in Afghanistan had taught him the difference in sound between outgoing and incoming mortars and various artillery. These were distant mortars, so he knew that it wasn't friendly fire. Andy already had Operation Enduring Freedom Camouflage Pattern, OCP pants, and Interceptor Body Armor, IBA, on, and was snatching up his M4 carbine and helmet when the take shelter warning siren sounded. He popped out the door of his containerized housing unit, Chew, and jumped down into the entrance of the heavily sandbagged shelter just a few steps away. Moments later, the two lieutenants from the Chew next door piled in behind him. One of them took the precaution of scanning the floor and walls of the shelter for scorpions with a flashlight. He found just one, and stomped it without comment. The mortar rounds started to come in, with a succession of sharp blasts that shook the ground. There were about 20 impacts, arriving in a span of 10 seconds. They could see the flashes of the explosions reflected on the wall opposite the doorway. The closest round impacted about 100 feet away, close enough that shock waves could be felt. As the rounds came in, Andy Lane said a silent prayer. He knew that only a direct hit would endanger him, but it was still unnerving since he had less than a month left in country.
"That may be all she wrote, sir," said one of the lieutenants dryly.
Lane agreed. "You're probably right. Just another shooting scoot deal." At the far side of the forward operating base, FOB, they could hear the echoed commands from the Arty boys and then the deep-throated crumps of outgoing mortars. They sounded like big 4.2-inch mortars, just three rounds. Andy marveled at how quickly the counter-battery radar team could pinpoint the insurgents' firing location and direct return fire. Less than a minute after the enemy rounds impacted, the reply was sent, no doubt with considerable precision. It was no wonder that the mortar duels with the jihadis had become less frequent in recent months. As they waited for the all clear horn, Andy leaned against the sandbag wall and stretched his calf muscles, more out of habit than because of any stiffness. At 6'2", with a runner's physique, he weighed just 180 pounds and prided himself on his flexibility. When doing PT with his units in garrison, he was always among the most limber. The next morning, along with dozens of his fellow Fobbits, Lane did a bit of gawking at the damage done by the mortars. It actually wasn't much. One round had shredded the corner of a Chew, and another perforated a tent with dozens of small holes, the largest about 3 inches across. All the rest of the mortar impacts had no effect, leaving only black marks on the ground and some scattered shrapnel. A couple of the newbies to the FOB posed for pictures in front of the damaged Chew.
"So what? Big deal," Andy muttered to himself as he walked to the company headquarters.
At 31 years old, Anders Lane was the typical lean and fit U.S. Army captain. He was on his second deployment to Afghanistan. His first had been to Iraq. On this new deployment, his assignment was branch immaterial. Although he was branched Ordnance Corps, he was assigned as a staff officer in a striker battalion, an infantry unit equipped with 16-ton wheeled armored personnel carriers, APCs. With the heavy manpower requirements of ongoing deployments to Afghanistan, it was not unusual for officers to get assignments outside of their usual career path. The needs of the Army was the reason often cited when making these assignments. Andy and his older brother Lars had grown up in the shadow of their late father, Robbie Lane, a Finnish-born Army officer who retired as a full colonel. Their father earned his U.S. citizenship by joining the U.S. Army and eventually retired to a small horse ranch near Bloomfield, New Mexico. Robbie had been raised on a farm and was convinced